This is Bloomberg, the first word for this Friday, September 23rd, 2016. Coming up this hour,
the world's largest social network under fire for giving advertisers inflated metrics.
Economic data for the euro area shows growth in Germany weighing on the region.
Options trading from CBOE is in talks to acquire the second biggest exchange operator in U.S. stocks.
A third night of demonstrations were held in Charlotte, North Carolina, but this time more peaceful. Plus pointed words from Turkey's president against the U.S. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A wild and thrilling win for the Mets. 11 innings over the Phillies. Yankees shut out at Tampa Bay. New England shut out Houston in Thursday Night Football.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg, the first word. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg, the first word, being brought to you by Hartford Funds. Hartford Funds, their benchmark is the investor.
And it's coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are lower. S&P E-mini futures down 3 points, Dow E-mini futures down 13, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 6. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%, the CAC in Paris down 0.3%, and the FTSE 100 down almost 0.2%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.3%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong dropped about the same. 10-year Treasury up 1/32, the yield 1.61%. The yield on the two-year, 0.77%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.3% or 12 cents to $46.20 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3% or $4.40 to $13.40.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.12.12, the yen 100.91.
Trading is underway in Europe this morning, where we're getting the latest reading on growth in the region. And Bloomberg First Word Europe anchor Guy Johnson joins us live from London with the details. Nothing to write home about, Guy.
No, nothing to write home about at all here, John. Good morning to you both. We are back down to levels. So this is the PMI read, the composite PMI read for September. It's come at 52.6. The survey was 52.8. This is the lowest level since January 2015, which preceded the QE push that the ECB delivered. So this is the worst number since QE started, and it kind of tells you a lot about the round-tripping of that QE effect and whether or not the effect of QE is beginning to really fade significantly. Germany, the real issue here. Talking of Germany, German lawmakers are getting concerned about Deutsche Bank in particular, this $14 billion fine that could end up emanating as a result of mortgage selling. It is a concern for lawmakers. I just need to kind of say that they're not overly concerned. They're not kind of going down the road, this point of talking about a backstop, but it's certainly on the radar screen in Berlin right now, and could become something that they really focus on as they continue to really be concerned about the implications for the banking system and what this ultimately means. They're pushing back against the regulators. They could be pushing back against fines along this front as well. And with the effect of QE fading and the banks so important to Europe, this is a really big story. The Deutsche Bank name is very important. One to watch, folks. John, Karen.
All right, Guy Johnson, thank you. And Turkey's President Recep Erdogan sat down for an interview with Bloomberg News Editor-in-Chief John Micklethwaite to discuss monetary policy, Turkey's economy, and relations with the U.S. as well. Turkey's central bank cut its overnight lending rate this week to 8.25%, and Erdogan, speaking through an interpreter, says it did the right thing and should continue to do so.
I see the last central bank cuts as a steady, careful, and balanced cut. Because it's not right to make sudden moves up or down that could contain some violence, that could create a tremor in the economy. But I believe it will be beneficial to continue this steadily.
President Erdogan, who's been running the country for almost 14 years, has strong and unorthodox views on the benefits of lower interest rates. He's frequently clashed with central bankers who take the more conventional view that rates must sometimes be kept high to rein in inflation.
And here in the U.S., Facebook says it has been giving advertisers inflated video metrics for the average time that users spent watching videos. And Bloomberg's Gina Cervetti has details on this story.
Facebook's inflated video measurements may have helped boost marketer spending on one of the social network's most popular ad products. The company has been making video a centerpiece of its strategy, and its robust growth in mobile advertising has been driven by strong demand for video spots. Shares of Facebook slid 1.4% in late trading yesterday following the revelation. The company said in a statement that the error has been fixed and it did not impact billing. Facebook executives are scheduled to meet with their top advertisers in New York next week during the Advertising Week conference. Gina Cervetti, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Gina. CBOE Holdings is in talks to acquire Bats Global Markets. That's according to people familiar with the matter. CBOE is a 43-year-old Chicago firm that still runs trading pits where humans buy and sell options. A deal would combine it with Bats' fully electronic exchange. An agreement could be announced within weeks, though no final decision has been made and the talks could still fall apart. Shares of Bats have surged 40% since its initial public offering 5 months ago.
China has approved the trading of credit default swaps for the first time. Stephen Engel has that story from our Hong Kong bureau.
Investors have been calling for such tools as credit default swaps to hedge credit risks in China. At least 18 local bonds have missed payments so far this year. There were just 7 such cases in all of last year. Liu Dongliang of China Merchants Bank says the development is a very good thing because so far there are no meaningful hedging tools in the domestic market. This potentially takes pressure off the central government from having to bail out bond issuers who default as it spreads out the risks. But then again, banks are the main players in the credit market in China, so those risks will still be within the banking system, but potentially it means the government could allow more corporate failures. Stephen Engel, Bloomberg News, Hong Kong.
All right, Stephen, thank you. The embattled CEO of Wells Fargo has quit a Federal Reserve Advisory Council. John Stumpf was the San Francisco Fed's appointee to the panel. Congress has stepped up the pressure on Wells Fargo after revelations that employees opened 2 million accounts without customers' knowledge. And analysts at Goldman Sachs say Wells Fargo could face potential damages of less than $50 million if the bank reimburses customers whose credit scores were harmed by the unauthorized accounts. Futures this morning lower, watching shares of Facebook as well. They're down 1.7% in early trading. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
It's 6:07 on Wall Street. This hour of the First Word being brought to you by Volvo Cars White Plains. Visit VolvoCarsWhitePlains.com. Let's get news from around the world this morning. Here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. Officials in Charlotte, North Carolina, ordered a midnight to 6 a.m. curfew after sometimes violent protests over the fatal police shooting of a black man. After the curfew took effect, police allowed the crowd of demonstrators to thin without forcing them off the street. Police said they would not try to arrest curfew violators as long as they were peaceful. Meanwhile, family attorneys for the black man who was shot and killed say the family has seen the video of the shooting death of Keith Scott, but it is unclear whether Scott had a gun. Family attorney Justin Bamberg.
My understanding, based on talking with his family, is that he did not own a gun, that he did not habitually carry a gun.
Police say Scott was armed. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, the family of an unarmed black man who was shot to death by a police officer is expressing satisfaction that the officer has been charged with first-degree manslaughter. Prosecutors say Officer Betty Shelby reacted unreasonably when she fatally shot 40-year-old Terrence Crutcher on a Tulsa street almost a week ago. Tomorrow, we will find out if UK Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn has been re-elected by party members. Bloomberg's Eddie Buckle has more from London.
Voting ended on Wednesday, and the result will be announced just before noon tomorrow in Liverpool. Polls and bookmakers agree that Corbyn is set for a clear win over his challenger, Owen Smith. But that won't end the doubts among Labour MPs about whether the party can regain power under Corbyn. The current leader says he wants to wipe the slate clean and the entire party to work together. But Smith has said he won't serve in a Corbyn shadow cabinet. Eddie Buckle, Bloomberg Radio, London.
Spain's caretaker Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy could end the country's political impasse after regional elections this weekend. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo has more from Madrid.
The strong performance from Mariano Rajoy's People's Party may give him the edge he needs to broker a government deal, especially if he gets to play the kingmaker role at a regional level and demand for national support. If Spain fails to elect a new prime minister by the end of October, the nation would be heading for its third election in a year. Maria Tadeo, Bloomberg Radio, Madrid.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John?
Thanks, Michael. Coming up on 610 on Wall Street. Time now for the Ray Katina Porsche Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, John. What a game at Citi Field. After three straight losses to the last-place Braves, the Phillies, who aren't much better, came in, had the lead three different times. Jose Reyes did a game-tying two-run homer in the ninth inning. Mets fell behind by two in the 11th, then brought two on and brought up as Drubal Cabrera.
The 1-0 pitch, breaking ball, hit deep to right field. Borges going back at the track, at the wall. He did it! He did it! Home run as Drubal Cabrera put it in the books. What a dramatic win for the New York Mets, who come piling out of the dugout. They're waiting at home plate to make Cabrera basically disappear.
That's Howie Rose, WOR. Took almost 4.5 hours. Took the Mets using a club record 27 players, 9 pitchers. But they outlasted the Phillies 9-8. The Giants won at San Diego. The Cardinals were off. So St. Louis a half game behind the Mets and Giants in the race to be one of the two wild cards. Mets were hoping to start Steven Matz tonight for the first time since mid-August. That's been scratched. As wild as the Mets' victory was, that's how quiet the Yankee loss was at Tampa Bay. Rays won 2-0. Yanks had just 8 singles. Red hot Red Sox won again, 5-3 at Baltimore, their 8th win in a row. Detroit swept a doubleheader from Minnesota. The Tigers now lead for the second wild card by a half game over the fading Orioles. The Yanks are 3 out, running out of time. Must wins for them this weekend in Toronto. As it turned out, it didn't really matter who the Patriots quarterback was. They were without the still suspended Tom Brady and the injured Jimmy Garoppolo. Rookie Jacoby Brissett stepped in. Defense was the story, 27-0 over Houston, who had been blanked in the regular season only once before. The Pats are 3-0, and Brady's got to sit out one more game. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. And the New York Times reporting the Carolina Panthers are now reviewing security options for Sunday afternoon's home game against the Vikings. It comes in the wake of violent protests in Charlotte. Fox 46 in Charlotte says moving the game from Bank of America Stadium might be under consideration. This is Bloomberg. Sports Report brought to you by Ray Katina Porsche. The Porsche Macan is built around the belief that every car should be a sports car. See the 2017 Porsche Macan at Ray Katina Porsche in Edison. Yeah, the new Porsche at Toms River, a Ray Katina dealership.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow at 617 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. Facebook is confessing it inflated average viewing times of its videos for 2 years. It was done by excluding videos that lasted 3 seconds or less. The social media network says it's fixed the issue and informed ad buyers. In deal news, people familiar with the matter say CBOE is in talks to buy Bats Global Markets. The move would combine a firm where humans trade options with a fully electronic exchange. On the campaign trail, polls in some battleground states have Donald Trump narrowing the gap with Hillary Clinton. A Quinnipiac swing state survey has Trump catching up in Colorado and pulling ahead in Iowa and Georgia. And Volkswagen has received a dubious distinction. The German automaker won the Ig Nobel Prize in chemistry for engineering its cars to emit fewer emissions during testing. No company officials were on hand at Harvard to receive the humorous award, which is a 10 trillion Zimbabwean dollar bill, worth about 40 US cents. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Chris Kirkham, thank you. And futures again, that'll change to lower. S&P E-mini futures down 2 points, Dow E-mini futures down 9, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down about 5. DAX in Germany's down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.61%. NYMEX crude oil turning higher, up 0.4% or 16 cents. COMEX gold down 0.25% or $3.40. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a Syrian monitoring group and rescue workers say an intense bombing campaign has targeted several neighborhoods in the rebel-held part of Aleppo. The air campaign comes as Syria's military command announced it is launching operations in Aleppo's rebel-held eastern quarters, raising concerns of imminent ground operations. An attempted ceasefire has all but collapsed. The top Democrats on the House and Senate Intelligence Committee say they have concluded that Russian intelligence agencies are making a serious and concerted effort to influence the U.S. presidential election. In sports, the Yankees lost. Other baseball news, the Mets won. The Red Sox beat the Orioles. The Giants won. In the NFL, the Patriots downed the Texans 27-0 last night. And finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, memorabilia from late President Ronald Reagan sold for up to 2,000% above official value during a Christie's auction in New York. A pair of Ronald Reagan's cowboy boots with a presidential seal went for $200,000. And, John, a football with the written words, "Win one for the Gipper," sold for $93,750, was estimated to go for just 10 grand.
Now, kids out there listening have no idea what you're talking about. Gipp, George Gipp, was Ronald Reagan played George Gipp, the football player, Newt Rocky, All-American. So this is a movie prop.
Yes. This is way back,
1940.
The movie
that
itself
was before even your time.
I know. It's black and white. In total, yes, the total estate of former Reagan, President Ronald Reagan and his wife, Nancy, raked in more than $5.74 million. Now, Michael Barr, this is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Brief.
News,
market data,
and expert commentary
from the world's most trusted economists and analysts.
And right now, it is 6:21 on Wall Street. And Bloomberg Brief, being brought to you by CIT, from transportation to healthcare to manufacturing, CIT offers commercial lending, leasing, and treasury management services for small and middle market businesses. Learn more at CIT.com. Put knowledge to work. This morning, we focus on the Bloomberg Brief on leveraged finance and distressed investment. Joining us now in the studio from Bloomberg Brief, Tanya Chen. Good to see you.
Good morning.
You sat down and you talked to a pretty prominent, what do we call him, a distressed in high yield investor, I guess we'll call him.
Yes. So Mark,
who is this?
Mark Okada. He's a CIO and founder of Highland Capital. They manage about $17 billion, but in their portfolio, $2 billion of that is in distress. We sat down with him last week, and we actually got some really interesting perspective, especially coming from a high-yield investor, about the economy, about the election, about Brexit. One of the things that he was really pounding the table against last year were all these calls about recession, and his view has now changed. He's saying that due to some of the latest economic data and the election that's coming up in November, he thinks that signs of a recession in 2017 are higher.
Yeah, we've 7 years into this recovery. Remember, the economy is cyclical. We haven't seen a recession. So what does he do in a recession as a well-known investor, or as one he predicts one coming?
Well, he said that he didn't want to be quoted saying that you should go to cash, but he did say that cash
we'll
is
quote him anyway.
Certainly not a bad asset, and it is in our piece that you can find on Bloomberg Briefs. But one of the things that he did say he still likes is credit in distress, even though we've been hearing from a lot of distressed investors that it's been a very quiet market for them. And the reason why he likes distress and credit is because he finds that the opportunities are more, he calls them idiosyncratic, but that you're betting around kind of a messy process with corporate bankruptcies, with corporate filings, as opposed to when you're betting on the economy, you're just looking for investors who are willing to take risks.
He also pointed to, I guess, what he called red flags in private lending. Tell us more about that.
He's actually pointed to many red flags. So one of them is private lending. You know, everyone's searching for yield in this environment. And one of the ways pension funds, endowments, sovereigns have found this yield is by going to these private lenders where, let's say a private lending fund will have 10 names in the portfolio and they're all middle market companies. What happens when you go into a recession? This could be a systemic backlash. All these companies may not be able to execute on those loans.
And we could read more about this interview on the Bloomberg Brief for distressed investment, and you've combined that with
two leverage cap and distress now, and that comes out on Tuesdays.
Tanya Chan from Bloomberg Brief, thanks very much. You can read Tanya's analysis, other news, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economist and analyst in the Bloomberg Brief digital newsletter. Sign up now at BloombergBriefs.com, or for terminal customers, you can use the function Brief Go. And ahead of the market open on Wall Street right now, let's check futures. S&P futures, they are down 3 points. The Dow E-mini futures down 14. NASDAQ E-mini futures right now, they are down 5 points. That's down 0.1%. This is Bloomberg. First, we're brought to you by your Mercedes-Benz Tri-State dealer. Experience the all-new 2017 Mercedes-Benz E-Class at your Mercedes-Benz Tri-State dealer. One of the most intelligent and innovative cars on the road. Go to nbusa.com for details.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, SiriusXM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg the First Word.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. And let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Oil reversing losses this morning. And Reuters reported that Saudi Arabia offered to reduce its own oil production to lower levels seen earlier this year if Iran agrees to freeze its output. This is Iran and Saudi Arabian officials meet in Vienna ahead of next week's informal OPEC meetings in Algiers. Reuters says the offer was made earlier this month and is yet to be accepted by Iran. Checking crude right now, NYMEX crude up 10 cents a barrel, 46.42. That's up 2 tenths. Brent up 59 at 48.23. That's a rise of 1.2%.
Facebook says it's been giving advertisers an inflated metric for the average time users spent watching a video, a measurement that may have helped boost marketer spending on one of Facebook's most popular ad products. Shares of Facebook down 1.6% this morning.
According to people familiar with the matter, CBOE Holdings is in talks to acquire BATS Global Markets. This deal would combine a 43-year-old Chicago firm that still runs trading pits where humans buy and sell options with a fully electronic exchange. BATS is the second biggest exchange operator in U.S. stocks, the largest in European equities. Last year, it got into the $5 trillion a day currency market.
In Germany, Commerzbank is preparing to cut as many as 5,500 jobs. This according to a German financial newspaper, which says the cuts are part of a new strategy to boost profitability. Germany's second largest bank may also merge some of its corporate units with its investment bank.
And China has approved the trading of credit default swaps for the first time. The People's Bank of China has approved rules governing credit default swap trading in the nation's interbank market, a move which is fueling speculation that authorities will allow more bond delinquencies as the economy slows. Time now for the Volatility Index Report. It is being brought to you by CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures. Learn more at cboe.com/PowerfulOutcomesVIX. The VIX fell 9.6% yesterday to close at 12.02. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures right now up 2.1%, up a 0.26 at 12.28. That's this morning's Bloomberg Volatility Report.
And futures are lower. S&P E-mini futures down 3 points. Dow E-mini futures down 13. And NASDAQ E-mini futures are down about 6. Straight ahead on Bloomberg the First Word, the latest world and national headlines. This is Bloomberg.
At 6:33 on Wall Street, this news update now being brought to you by Anshin Block & Anshin. Named the best accounting firm in North America for the sixth year in a row by Hedgeweek.com. Let's get the latest news from around the world. And here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. It was a relatively peaceful night of protests in Charlotte, North Carolina. A third night of demonstrations followed the shooting death of a black man by police this week. The mayor of Chicago is calling on residents to help fight the rise in violence in the city. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel unveiled efforts to address gun violence. Emanuel says many residents don't want less police. They want more police and less gangs.
They don't want more officers just driving around in cars, though, through their communities. They want officers in their neighborhood knowing the residents that they serve.
Emanuel's plan calls for hiring as many as 1,000 new officers, mentoring young people, and gun legislation. Monday is the first general election debate of this historic presidential campaign season. Donald Trump's advisors are urging him to keep his cool during next week's presidential debate with Hillary Clinton. They say Trump should resist any attempts by Clinton to provoke him with questions about his business record. As for Clinton, she's been behind closed doors getting ready for Monday's face-off at New York's Hofstra University. Clinton and Trump's running mates were out on the campaign trail. Democratic vice presidential candidate Senator Tim Kaine talked about the criminal justice system and reform. He told reporters on his plane there are a number of U.S. cities where communities and policing strategies have worked.
Hillary and I deeply believe in this model, and as part of our criminal justice plan, we would like to put $1 billion into community policing training.
Republican vice presidential candidate called for getting rid of the Johnson Amendment. He called for a change to the U.S. code back, which prohibits certain tax-exempt organizations like churches from endorsing or opposing political candidates, according to Mike Pence. Turkey's president had sharp criticism for the U.S. for ties for harboring an exiled cleric in rural Pennsylvania. The cleric is accused of being involved in July's failed coup in Turkey. Turkish President Recep Erdogan accused the U.S. of failing to live up to its obligations. Erdogan sat down for an interview with Bloomberg News editor-in-chief John Micklethwaite.
We want him. Give him to us and let us try him. Let's do what's needed. But they said the court is going to decide. I'm sorry, but we can't wait for these kind of decisions from these kinds of courts, because this crime wasn't committed in the U.S. It was committed in Turkey. So let us make the decision.
Global News, 24 hours a day. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thanks, Michael. And coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street, yeah, time now for the Ray Katina Porsche Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. Not one, but two dramatic home runs for the Mets. First, there was Jose Reyes up with one on, one out in the bottom of the ninth, and the Mets trailing the Phillies by two.
2-1 to Reyes. Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep to right field. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a tie game. Aaron Altherr, the right fielder, did all that he could. He climbed the fence in front of the Mets bullpen, tried to reach out, but it's beyond his reach. The New York Mets have tied the game on a two-run homer in the ninth inning by Jose Reyes. Phillies 6, Mets 6.
Harry Rose added on WOR. 2 innings later, Mets down by 2 again, and as Drubal Cabrera belted a walk-off 3-run homer to win 9-8. Mets set a club record using 27 players. Giants won, Cardinals were off. In the wild-card race, Mets are tied with San Francisco. St. Louis falls half game behind. Yankees with faint hopes, can't afford many losses. Tampa Bay cooled off. Gary Sanchez held the Yanks to 8 singles. The Rays won 2-0. And now Masahiro Tanaka going to miss a start with a sore arm. Red Sox starting to pull away in the AL East. 8th straight win, 5-3 at Baltimore. Detroit took over the second wild card lead with a doubleheader sweep at Minnesota. Tom Brady's yet to take a snap. Rob Gronkowski's yet to catch a pass. Patriots are still 3-0. 27-0 over Houston, who actually outgained the Pats but had 3 turnovers. Clemson beat Georgia Tech 26-7. Clemson 9 in showdown with Louisville in 8 days. Three-way tie at the Tour Championship. Dustin Johnson, Kevin Chappell, Hideki Matsuyama all at 4 under par. With Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John.
Thanks, John. And Bloomberg Business Time is now 6:37.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
The movement to pardon NSA leaker Edward Snowden is picking up momentum, with human rights groups, editorial boards, and some former intelligence officers hopping on board. But to show leniency for the man now enjoying Vladimir Putin's hospitality in Moscow would be to ignore the great damage he has done to U.S. national security. It's true that the public interest was served by Snowden's revelation that the government was collecting telephone metadata without a court order, and that U.S. intelligence services offices have responded with positive reforms. But Snowden also released classified information on many other intelligence programs that were clearly within the law, exposing sources and methods to America's enemies. Snowden claims he tried to report his concerns to his bosses, but he hasn't provided any emails or other evidence to corroborate that story. The fight against global terrorism will always require trade-offs between national security and privacy. With its metadata program, the NSA went too far, but so did Snowden in revealing such a vast cache of materials. If he truly feels he has done nothing deserving of punishment, he should make that case to a jury in the U.S. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Bloomberg View brought to you by Benzel Busch Motor Car in Englewood, New Jersey, offering a commitment to service, luxury, and value with total transparency from America's premier automotive dealership. To find the way you drive at BenzelBusch.com. If Democrats take control of the White House and the Senate, we could see an end to the rule that allows the minority party to hold up legislation. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Some Senate Democrats are thinking about changing the current voting rules.
It requires at least 60 votes in favor of a bill in order to move that bill through the chamber. And opponents of the rule have said, look, by not just requiring a simple majority of 51 votes, it makes it really difficult for them to get just about anything done.
Bloomberg BNA's Chris Opfer says the filibuster rule has been around since 1917. But some say Congress may need to change to a simple majority rule in order to end the gridlock.
A lot of people are concerned that the chamber has just slowed things down completely on both sides of the aisle. And they'd like to make some moves to sort of make the chamber more efficient. I'm just not sure that there's enough support yet for scrapping the filibuster altogether.
Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
In tech news, Google will begin using its cloud services to test blockchain technologies for banks. With the move, Google enters an area where IBM, Microsoft, and Amazon have been courting clients for the past year. Royal Bank of Scotland Group will employ Google servers for a trial of a new blockchain application. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street right now, S&P futures 3 points lower. That's down a tenth of a percent. This is Bloomberg. Coming up, the Bloomberg Green Report brought to you by Con Edison. For tips on how to lower your business's overhead, go to manageenergy.coned.com/small business.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update is brought to you by Korn Ferry. From executive search to leadership development, rewards, outsourcing, and more, Korn Ferry can help you realize the full potential of your people. Take your business where it wants to go up. Learn more at KornFerry.com/up. Futures this morning moving lower. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. Small losses in the U.S. futures today, with Dow futures currently down 16 points. S&P's dropped 3 and NASDAQ futures declined by 6. The U.S. 10 yield at 1.61%. Asia markets were mixed overnight, while Europe is trading lower this morning, led by 1.5% declines over in Spain. Back in the U.S., on the economic front at 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing PMI. At 12 o'clock, Fed's Harker, Mester, and Lockhart all speak in Philadelphia. And at 12:30, Fed's Kaplan speaks in Houston. Regarding earnings today, look for Finish Line to report around 7 a.m. In deal news, CBOE is said in talks to buy exchange operator Bats Global Markets, and Bank of America said Yahoo breach unlikely to impact the Verizon deal. In other news, Facebook says it gave advertisers inflated video view metrics. And finally, some of your Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. Walmart raised overweight over at Barclays. Packaging Corp raised to buy over at Deutsche Bank. Transocean raised to neutral at Credit Suisse. Prudential raised to conviction buyers to Goldman Sachs. And finally at RBC, Twitter cut to underperform and Yum Brands cut to outperform. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, people cleared out of downtown Charlotte, North Carolina after a night of mostly peaceful protests. The city's mayor imposed a midnight 6 a.m. curfew after three nights of protests over the deadly police shooting of a black man on Tuesday. A Tulsa, Oklahoma police officer who was charged with manslaughter and the shooting death of an unarmed black man has turned herself into authorities. Betty Shelby, who is white, was booked overnight after posting $50,000 bond. Tropical storm Carl is forecast to pass just east of Bermuda early tomorrow. Carl's maximum sustained winds this morning have increased to almost 60 miles per hour. In sports and baseball, the Yankees lost, the Mets won, the Red Sox beat the Orioles, the Giants won. In the NFL, the Patriots shut out the Texans 27-0 last night. And finally, from daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, a toddler who went missing for 3 days in the Siberian forest was found alive. According to the BBC, the three-year-old was just hungry, but otherwise okay. John, the child had to avoid bears and wolves and bone-chilling temperatures.
I'm not going to ask why the toddler was in Siberia in the first place. It sounds like a movie almost.
Yeah, and this child, he did the job. The child slept between the roots of a tree to survive and did just fine. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thanks, Michael. 6:50, Wall Street. Time now to check in what's going on in the nation's capital. Some of the top stories in D.C. include Secretary of State John Kerry taking part in a forum on climate change. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew hosting a program on job creation. Also making news this morning, a story from Bloomberg's own Shannon Pettypiece, who's writing about how Donald Trump's business brand has been transformed by the presidential election. And Shannon joins us now. Shannon, people should know that that's the way Donald Trump makes money. He puts his name on stuff.
Yeah, he actually has a very consumer-facing business. I mean, even his, you know, he does have office properties that don't have his name on them, but he licenses name to buildings, to international hotels. He develops hotels and buildings, you know, residential buildings with his name on them. So, yeah, his name and his brand really is his business.
Are those the same people who would vote for him, the people who would be attracted to something with his brand?
Well, that seems to be the problem for him. You know, his hotels start at $500 a night. He sells multi-million dollar apartments. He, you know, a fine winery, you know, golf course memberships with, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in membership fees. So his customer is a very affluent customer. They typically live in the major cities. A lot of consumer spending decisions are driven by women. And those are the groups that Trump is not doing well with and has alienated to some extent during his presidential campaign. So, you know, while Trump, the candidate, is more popular than ever among a certain core group of supporter, the ones that his business really depends on are the ones, at least according to poll numbers, you know, who he is least favorable among and who he's really done the most damage to.
Okay, well, let's what happens should he, well, we're not predicting this, but just the scenario, should he lose the election to Hillary Clinton, what does this do when he goes back to run his business? What does it do for the businesses?
Yeah, he's going to be returning, if he does, to return to his Manhattan offices come November to a very much different brand. And the Trump brand before this two-year, you know, presidential run was, it was one-dimensional. It was luxury. It was success. It was opulence. You might not have liked Donald Trump. You know, you might have thought he was a crazy rich guy on reality TV, but you identified his brand as, you know, very specific things that had to do with wealth and luxury. Now he's going to be coming back to a brand that is more dimensional. It's got different connotations with it. I mean, every negative thing you can think of has been said about him over these 2 years, and people's political emotions, not just their personal opinions about someone, are going to be involved. So, you know, maybe it's going to have to mean reinventing the brand. There's been a lot of speculation about him doing a conservative radio, conservative media company, you know, to sort of capitalize on the support, where his support has gone. You know, maybe it's going to be sort of rebranding some of the hotels. You know, maybe the Trump name will be smaller, or, you know, start a different brand without his name. But it's going to be a much different business he's going to be going back to.
The Trump name will be smaller. Okay. Bloomberg yeah, Shannon Petty piece with that prediction. You can read more about this story at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. A reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. And it is now 6:54 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg View. Edward Snowden famously revealed in 2013 that the National Security Agency had been collecting Americans' electronic metadata in bulk. If that's all he had done, whether President Obama should grant him a pardon might be a hard call. The NSA's program went past anything Congress had authorized, and Congress imposed reforms on the program after the disclosures. But a pardon is unjustified, because Snowden also disclosed wholly legitimate intelligence operations and thus weakened their effectiveness. Some of them involved foreigners without the Fourth Amendment rights that Snowden said he was protecting. Snowden gave the stolen information to reporters, apparently without reading it first. One Snowden defender wrote in the Washington Post that he had acted carefully, responsibly, and courageously, and squarely in the public interest. But that conclusion ignores the full scope of his disclosures. Much of what he did was reckless and without much connection to the public interest. The president will not and should not condone that recklessness. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard hourly weekday mornings. Time now for the Bloomberg Green Report. Bank of England Governor Mark Carney says green finance could help prop up the global economic growth if policymakers smooth pathways for investors to channel $100 trillion that's locked up in fixed income markets into projects that reduce pollution. Seeking to make a macroeconomic case for investing in lowering greenhouse gases, Carney notes that the global economy has remained weak despite years of unprecedented monetary policies and steps to repair bank balance sheets. Business and investors, he said, appear to be hedging future disaster risk. Carney was in speaking in Berlin yesterday. Green investment represents, he said, a major opportunity for both long-term investors and macroeconomic policymakers seeking to jumpstart growth. The comments elaborate to remarks Carney's been making for the past year, urging investors to more carefully evaluate the risks of climate change and start tilting funds toward industries that avoid greenhouse gas pollution. And that is today's Bloomberg Green Report. Karen.
Well, now let's check other stories making news this morning, John. And on Bloomberg Top, when Elon Musk takes the stage of the 67th International Astronautical Congress in Guadalajara, Mexico on September 27th, it won't be to rehash terrestrial concerns like a fatal Tesla autopilot crash or a poorly received merger proposal. Instead, the space and electric car entrepreneur will be talking about realizing his boyhood dream, going to Mars. Musk's keynote address entitled Making Humans a Multiplanetary Species will tackle the technical challenges and potential architectures for colonizing the red planet, according to organizers. Translation, huge rockets, big spacecraft. No one has been anticipating the event more eagerly than Musk, who founded Space Exploration Technologies Corporation, his rocket launch company, 14 years ago, with the express goal of putting humans on other planets to live and work. And customers can find these stories and more on the Bloomberg Terminal. And futures this morning moving lower with S&P E-mini futures down 4 points, Dow E-mini futures down 21, NASDAQ E-mini futures down 7, and then DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 0.3%, the yield 1.60%. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg The First Word. Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.